Hey guys, welcome to Paco the Realtor podcast number one. This is my first podcast, and I will be doing these weekly. I'm hoping time allows me to do quite a few of them per week. I've decided to go this route because I've done a lot of real estate content on social media, YouTube, but I'm very limited on time and editing. A lot of that, obviously, with certain social media, you got to go under certain minutes. In YouTube, you got to have a lot more of an intro, outro, that kind of stuff. And I feel a podcast, at least for now, will allow me the freedom to speak more freely, grammatically incorrect. I'm definitely better at speaking when I can just speak as opposed to follow some kind of script because I have to hit it in a certain amount of time. So, anyways. So I've chosen this venue to go ahead and do the first podcast on how I feel that the real estate message of homeownership is under attack. And it's under attack for a reason that I think benefits Wall Street, not Main Street. And I did a video on this a few days ago, but now I want to expand a lot more on it and speak to what I really think about it. Growing up, the message was go to college, buy a house, get married. That was the message. I think it's still a very valid message. I think that a lot of people are taking longer to get married, but it's still a good message. This came from parents, immigrant parents, who got third grade education that lived in a country where you never owned the land, it was more of a lease. Who came to this country to provide a better life for the family, and had to create wealth. There was no wealth given. If you didn't create wealth, you're always going to be poor. And the way the wealth was created was through real estate, multiple properties, multiple rental properties. For all intents and purposes, my father is wealthy now. He gets his cash flow from rentals. He has plenty of equity and he's been doing it over 30 years now. And I've noticed that over time the message has been changing. And this specifically started back after the 2008 night market crash when real estate lost 50%, 40%. And people were foreclosing and all these 80-20 loans were given out. Wall Street took advantage of the situation. Blackstone specifically at that time started buying homes like it was commercial real estate. Up to that point, they had been buying majority commercial real estate. And now they were applying their model to single-family residential. And it worked so well that people started to pay attention and realize, why should the Americans who buy a home keep the equity? We should keep the equity, hedge funds, corporations, the money. And we should keep the equity and then just have them pay us rent. So this message started to come out. I think a lot of it had to do with people that invested in real estate, flips, rentals, things like that. They started giving a message about, hey, you know what? It's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper to do rent, specifically in California, than it is to buy. And there is a few instances where that is correct, but the majority of the time that is incorrect. As a matter of fact, I saw an article came out yesterday. I want to say on Yahoo. I'm going to be doing a video on it probably tomorrow, where they compared rent to buying over 30 years in like 47 cities, and like the worst cities to buy in is in California. And they took in consideration property taxes, insurance, repairs, and then rents over 30 years where they would be. And then they came up with a number, and like the number one place was, or the number two place in California was like you'd be upside down like $400,000. But what they didn't take into consideration was equity. If I bought that house 30 years ago for $300,000 and it's worth a million now, I have 700, I have a million in equity. And if you want to do simple numbers, I have $700,000 in profit. They didn't take that into consideration. They didn't even look at it. They didn't take into consideration interest deduction, all that interest you pay. So I'm seeing a lot more of this, and I'm seeing a lot more messages. And if you are a real estate investor that make a lot of money buying and selling flips, buying and selling for rental purposes, that's a different animal. You're looking at different metrics. I completely understand that. But if you are the average American in this country who are looking to buy the American dream, and you need to create, maintain wealth, or create wealth for your kids and your grandkids, then I think that this is the best place to do it. By far. It's not even close. And I think part of the reason why the message has changed is because who does it benefit if we stop buying and start renting? The landlords, the owners of the properties. That's what benefits. So that's the message now. That is the message. Grant Cardone said that we are going to be a tenant state. I believe him. There's going to be more tenants than landlords. So, and then who's buying the properties? Who's buying a big chunk of the properties the last few years? Entities, hedge funds, corporations. They've learned. I want you to rent from me, and I'm going to get the equity, and I'm going to get the I'm going to get the equity, and I'm going to get rent from you to help me pay for the mortgage. The principle to me hasn't changed one bit. It's still long term. An awesome investment to have. Short term, it could be a headache. But now the message has been changed to what? Really think about it. It's easier to just rent. And one of the arguments I see from a lot of these gurus is if my rent's 3,000 and my mortgage is 4,500, that's a difference of $1,500. In 12 months, you do the math. What? That is about $15,000. In 12 months, I can invest that money in businesses, in the Wall Street, in whatever I want, in stocks, in the market, and get a return that will make me more money. And if you're savvy and you're a guru, and you know what you're doing, I think they're correct. I myself never learned to do any of that when I was younger. I had to wait till I was in my 40s because I feel there's a learning curve. I came from a family that had no wealth, and they said to build your wealth, you got to buy real estate and go to college. I was the first to go to college and graduate. Then from there, I got a job, made money. And then all of a sudden, I have extra cash to now learn to do the other stuff. If you're just trying to make it, if you're just trying to make it, you don't care about what the form, what your return on, should I go buy stock? Should I invest in crypto, for example, whatever. You're just worrying about creating that wealth long term. So the message has changed where I think a lot of that is happening now. Good or bad, I'm not saying that there's this conspiracy. I just think they're smart enough to understand that if I get you to rent, I'm going to make the money. I'm going to make the equity, not you. The largest wealth transfer in history is happening over the next 10 years. Baby boomers, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids. What, 30 to 40% of that wealth came from where? Real estate. It came from real estate. So, for them to say all of a sudden real estate is a bad investment makes no sense to me. I think the other problem that plays right into this with our younger generation is not only the message, is it's the concept of instant gratification. Real estate is not an instant gratification. Buying stocks at $100 and selling them at $150 in 2 weeks, instant gratification. Crypto, I'm going to become a millionaire overnight, instant gratification. I think the instant gratification society does not like the idea of having to wait 20 years for real estate to really pay off. I think this is the other part. The whole idea of waiting just doesn't sound something good. What scares me and worries me is that the people who understand this, our parents, our grandparents, are starting to die off. And I feel that message is going to be lost. And we're going to become a lot like these other countries where it is easier to rent, but is not financially better. And I think that's where we're at now. And that's what worries me. The principles have, as I said, haven't changed. If you have a 30-year fixed at whatever rate, you always have the ability to refinance when the rate drops to get a cheaper mortgage payment, assuming you don't pull any cash out, right? Just straight rate and term. You can never do that with a rental. As a matter of fact, rents have never gone down. That's one thing my dad taught me. All his rentals he has, he says, I never once lowered rents. As a matter of fact, the worse the economy got, the more renters I had knocking at my door. So if I want to make sure that my rent never changes, there's only one way to do it. That's to buy a house. And so what I did was I went back and I looked at everything that was going on in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And I said, what were they dealing with? If social media was around, what would they deal with? What was the going on? What was being said? So this is what I came up with. In the 60s, civil rights was coming. We had a lot of issues in our community. The Cuban Missile Crisis and our president was assassinated. Can you imagine the conspiracy theories that would be right now if there was social media back in the 60s? And rates were 7%. So there was a lot of uncertainty in our country. In the 70s, you had Watergate, so you had a president pretty much get kicked out, and you had the Vietnam War, a very, very unfriendly war. A lot of people were against it. So you had that going on, and rates were 12.9% on average. So there was a lot of uncertainty there too. In the 80s, you had AIDS epidemic. You had an attempted assassination of our president, and you had the Iran hostages. And the rates on average were 18.4. Those are credit card payments. And then I didn't even talk about the oil embargoes, where you couldn't even buy gasoline or you had to wait 3 hours just to get gas. A lot of uncertainty there. Then in the 90s, you had NAFTA and the Gulf War. We're in a big war in NAFTA, I remember. This is what I was old enough now to understand. They said that we were going to lose jobs. America was going to go to shit in a handbasket because all the jobs were going to go to Mexico. I remember it clearly. Rates were 6.91. Then in the 2000s, we had 9/11, Y2K. Enough said. And the wars that followed 9/11, rates were 8%. So every decade had major issues. The rates were 12.9, 18.4, 7, 6.91, and 8. Cheaper, those are some of our rates are cheaper than most of those right now. Now I know homes are more expensive, so I understand that. Would there be one of us that would not if given the opportunity, not buy a house at the price point in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or even early 2000s? If we could go backwards and buy at that price point, regardless of what was going on in the market, regardless of what the interest rates, we all would. So what has changed? Nothing. Other than because of social media and because of Monday morning quarterbacks and overreaction. We live in a world where everything is, there has to be a response to everything immediately. Good, bad, or ugly. You know, the news cycles used to be 24 hours. Now they're every hour, right? So it's allowed the message to be changed quicker because you have people saying different things. A lot of them non-experts, pundits, people that feel they have a lot. Myself, I don't consider myself an economy expert or anything like that. I just have been doing real estate for almost 24 years full time. That's how I support my family. Period. So I come from a perspective that this is my world. I live it, I sleep it, I make money from it, I understand it. I'm not going to sit here and say that a doctor is wrong on medicine or that somebody would give a report on the economy. I could just take the data and tell you why I agree or disagree based on what I see. But it would only be around real estate, nothing else. So I just find it so interesting that somehow in the last 10 years, buying is not a good thing. It's gotten more expensive. When COVID hit, the market was going to crash. What did it do? Shot up. We haven't had a normal market in over 10 years. All because of the crash of 2008, 9, 10, which, by the way, was created by Wall Street with the 80-20 loans. So my point is this. I don't care what the rates are. I don't care what the purchase price is. If you look at this as strictly from a long-term standpoint and you want to create wealth for you and your family and you can afford to buy and you're currently renting, buy. Now, if you wait, can you get a better rate? Yes. If you wait where the homes adjust down a little, probably so. There's going to be no crash. There's no inventory. There's no inventory. There is no inventory. There's not enough people selling. Why would they sell? We all have 3 to 3.5% interest rates, and then we're supposed to sell, cash in our equity, and then buy a house at 8% interest rate, 7.5% interest rate. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The people that are moving now are the people that have to move. Job, divorce, careers, family, deaths in the family, whatever. Relocation, they have to move. The ones that are taking advantage right now, though, are first-time buyers. 3 years ago, first-time buyers made up less than 25% of the market. As a matter of fact, the message was what? First-time buyers have no shot at buying a house. They shouldn't even try. And they did it. Now it's over 60% of the market because the inventory that we normally have, the resales, I'm going to sell my house, cash in my equity and buy a bigger house or buy a smaller house, downsize, whatever it is, right? They aren't moving right now. So first-time buyers, so those are all out of the market. So the first-time buyers are now the majority of the market. They're just not the mover uppers and downers. It's the people that are buying for the first time. They're taking advantage. They don't care that they're paying more money and they don't care they're paying higher rate because they can refinance and they finally have a shot. A lot of it is new construction because they're given incentives on closing costs and interest rates. So, if you are in the market to buy or sell, specifically to buy, the only thing you control is your own life. Who cares what's going on around? Who cares that we are at the end of inflation and that this, that, you know, we've been in a recession since last year, as far as I'm concerned, since the beginning of this year. We haven't, just nobody likes to say it. I think we're coming out of it in 2024, but still. If you're in the market to buy, the only thing you control is what you can control, which is your goal. If your goal is to buy, buy if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, I have clients who have been priced out. They cannot buy a house until the rates fall below 6.5. And when they do, they're going to enter the market again. Don't let the message of fear overcome the principle of long-term wealth. Do not allow it to happen. You know, they said in 2022 that 2023, the home values were going to go down, the rates were going to keep going up, we were going to have low inventory, we were going to have very low sales volume, and that the market was going to crash, which is 10% drop or more. All right, guys. So I find it so interesting that the experts in 2022 had said home values were going to go down, rates were going to keep going up, low inventory, low sales volume. And then, of course, the YouTube experts, crash is coming, worst time to buy. You're going to lose over 10% of your value, which is a crash, by the way. What really happened was home values stayed the same or went up a little, especially in our area. Rates went through, rates did go up through the summer, but they started coming down fourth quarter of 2023. We did have very low inventory, which led to low sales volume. There was no crash. There was no 10% drop in our area whatsoever. And now first-time buyers, as I mentioned before, make up over 60% of the market. What I find so interesting is what they're saying now. Rates are going to go down. Agree with that. More sales, yes, because more people will list their homes, therefore it'll lead to more sales. Home prices are due to go up or down within 1 to 3%. I think they'll go up or stay the same. They're going to go up less than 1% or stay the same. But there is a camp that is saying that home values are going to skyrocket 7-10% because when the rates drop, which I think is third to fourth quarter below 6.5, everybody that's been on the sideline is going to rush into the market. So we're going to have 3 years all over again. 10 buyers for every house. There's still going to be not enough inventory. I don't know that's going to happen. What I can tell you is it's not going to crash. Now, it's not going to crash because they're comparing the 2008 and 2009. It's two completely different worlds. Over 90% of all loans are 90-year are 30-year fixed loans. What caused the crash in 07, 08, 09 was 80-20 loans that were only fixed for 2 years and then readjusted to the higher rates. They're saying that we're gonna have a higher foreclosure rate. We will, but it's still gonna be about 1%. But we're not gonna have short sales as much anymore, if any. And the reason is because let's assume I lose my job tomorrow and I can't pay my mortgage and I bought the house 2 years ago. I can sell my house, get equity, and go rent. In other words, I walk away with money. That was not the case in 08, 09, and 2010. They were upside down, hence why they were short sales. Second reason is there's no 80-20 loans. Everything's fixed. I think the stat is that like over 50% of homes are paid off, and the rest are all fixed loans. It's like less than 5%, 5 to 8% that have some kind of variable in it. The majority of the market is fixed, so it isn't going anywhere. If I was to, which I did in the video, if I was to go on YouTube right now and look at the top 10 videos of real estate, okay? It is l doom and gloom. This is always going to be the case no matter what, for a few reasons. One, fear conquers all. People are so fearful that they turn around and are going to express the fear they have. Second, fear sells. More clicks, more views, more likes, more followers. I do not subscribe to that at all. Never in my life have I subscribed to that at all because it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I can only control what I can control, which is me, how I react to things, positive or negative. And if I'm a buyer, all I can control is can I afford a house or can I not? That's it. If rates go down, perfect. If they don't, do I still want to buy? So don't believe the fear that's out there. Just believe what you just focus on your goal and you will be fine. Control what you can control. So, guys, I'll leave you with this. The principles have not changed on real estate long term. It's still a wealth creator. The only thing that changed was the message that you should rent and not buy because they want your equity. They want you to rent. They make more money. Wall Street, not Main Street. So next time you see these messages, take that with a grain of salt. Thanks, guys. This is Paco the Realtor, my first podcast. If you like it, you know what to do.